A very handsome man of 50, with a musketeer mustache, wearing a rather dandified curly-brimmed hat, and carrying an elaborate walking stick, comes into the room from the hall and stops short at the sight of the women on the sofa.
Oh, Hermione! This is Mr. Marcus Darnley.
What a lark! He is my husband!
But how?
She stops suddenly.
Then turns pale and sways. Hermione catches her.
Steady, my pettikins.
My real name, Miss Dunn, is Hector Hushabye. I leave you to judge whether that is a name any sensitive man would care to confess to. I never use it when I can possibly help it. I've been away for nearly a month, and I had no idea you knew my wife or that you were coming here. I am nonetheless delighted to find you in our little house.
I don't know what to do. Please, may I speak to Papa? Leave me, I can't bear it.
Be off, Hector.
Quick,
get out.
If you think it better.
He goes out, taking his hat with him, but leaving the stick on the table.
Mrs. Hushabye lays Ellie down at the end of the sofa.
Now, Pettikins, he's gone. There's nobody but me. You can let yourself go. Don't try to control yourself. Have a good cry.
Damn!
Splendid! Oh, what a relief. I thought you were going to be brokenhearted. Never mind me. Damn him again!
I am not damning him. I am damning myself for being such a fool. How could I let myself be taken in so?
She begins prowling to and fro, her bloom gone, looking curiously older and harder.
Why not, Pettikins? Very few young women can resist Hector. I couldn't when I was your age. He is really rather splendid, you know.
Splendid? Yes, splendid looking, of course. But how can you love a liar?
I don't know. But you can, fortunately. Otherwise, there wouldn't be much love in the world.
But to lie like that... To be a boaster, a coward.
Pettikins, none of that, if you please. If you hint the slightest doubt of Hector's courage, he will go straight off and do the most horribly dangerous things to convince himself that he isn't a coward. He has a dreadful trick of getting out of one third floor window and coming in at another just to test his nerve. He has a whole drawer full of Albert medals for saving people's lives.
He never told me that.
He never boasts of anything he really did. He can't bear it. And it makes him shy, if anyone else does. All his stories are made-up stories.
Do you mean that he is really brave, and really has adventures, and yet tells lies about things that he never did and that never happened?
Yes, Pettikins, I do. People don't have their virtues and vices in sets. They have them anyhow, all mixed.
There is something odd about this house, Hermione, and even about you. I don't know why I'm talking to you so calmly. I have a horrible fear that my heart is broken, but that heartbreak is not like what I thought it must be.
It's only life educating you, Pettikins. How do you feel about Boss Mangan now?
Oh, how can you remind me of him, Hermione?
Sorry, dear. I think I hear Hector coming back. You don't mind now, do you, dear?
Not in the least. I'm quite cured.
Mazzini Dunn and Hector come in from the hall.
1 second more, and she would have been a dead woman.
Dear, what an escape. Ellie, my love, Mr. Hushabye has just been telling me the most extraordinary...
Yes, I've heard it.
She crosses to the other side of the room.
Not this one. I'll tell it to you after dinner. I think you'll like it. The truth is, I made it up for you, and was looking forward to the pleasure of telling it to you, but in a moment of impatience at being turned out of the room, I threw it away on your father.
It was not thrown away. He believes it. I should not have believed it.
Ellie's very naughty, Mr. Hushabye. Of course, she does not really think that.
Boss Mangan comes in from the hall, followed by the captain. Mangan,
carefully frock-coated as for church or for a director's meeting,
is about 55.
The careworn, mistrustful expression standing a little on an entirely imaginary dignity.
With a dull complexion, straight, lusterless hair, and features so entirely commonplace that it is impossible to describe them.
Says his name is Mangan, not able-bodied.
How do you do, Mr. Mangan?
Very pleased. Dunn's lost his muscle, but recovered his nerve. Men seldom do after 3 attacks of delirium tremens.
He goes into the pantry.
I congratulate you, Mr. Dunn.
I am a lifelong teetotaler.
You will find it far less trouble to let Papa have his own way than try to explain.
But 3 attacks of delirium tremens, really?
Do you know my husband, Mr. Mangan?
Mangan goes to Hector, who meets him with outstretched hand.
Very pleased. I hope, Miss Ellie, you have not found the journey down too fatiguing.
Ellie and Mangan shake hands.
Hector, show Mr. Dunn his room.
Certainly. Come along, Mr. Dunn.
He takes Mazzini out.
You haven't shown me my room yet, Hesione.
How stupid of me! Come along. Make yourself quite at home, Mr. Mangan. Papa will entertain you. Papa, come and explain the house to Mr. Mangan.
She goes out with Ellie.
The captain comes from the pantry.
You're going to marry Dunn's daughter? Don't. You're too old.
Well, that's fairly blunt, Captain.
It's true.
She doesn't think so.
She does.
Older men than I have
made fools of themselves. That also is true.
I don't see that this is any business of yours.
It is everybody's business. The stars and their courses are shaken when such things happen.
I'm going to marry her all the same.
How do you know?
I intend to. I mean to. See? I never made up my mind to do a thing yet that I didn't bring it off. That's the sort of man I am. And there will be a better understanding between us when you make up your mind to do that, Captain.
You frequent picture palaces.
Well, perhaps I do. Who told you?
Talk like a man, not like a movie. You mean that you make $100,000 a year?
Oh, I don't boast. But when I meet a man that makes $100,000 a year, I take off my hat to that man and stretch out my hand to him and call him brother.
Then you also make $100,000 a year, eh?
No, I can't say that. $50,000, perhaps.
His half-brother only.
He turns away from Mangan with his usual abruptness and collects the empty teacups on the Chinese tray.
See here, Captain Shotover, I don't quite understand my position here. I came here on your daughter's invitation. Am I in her house or in yours?
You are beneath the dome of heaven in the house of God. What is true within these walls is true outside them. Go out to the seas, climb the mountains, wander through the valleys. She is still too young.
But I'm very little over 50.
You are still less under 60. Boss Mangan, you will not marry the pirate's child.
What pirate's child? What are you talking about?
Ellie Dunn, you will not marry her.
Who will stop me?
My daughter.
Mrs. Hushabye? Do you mean to say she brought me down here to break it off?
I know nothing more than I have seen in her eye. She will break it off. Take my advice. Marry a West Indian negress. They make excellent wives. I was married to one myself for 2 years.
Well, I am damned.
I thought so. I was, too, for many years. The negress redeemed me.
This is queer. I ought to walk out of this house.
Why?
Well, many men would be offended by your style of talking.
Nonsense. It's the other sort of talking that makes quarrels. Nobody ever quarrels with me.